from DynastyLeagueFootball.com and the DLF family of podcasts, this is the Super Flex Super Show. Your main source for strategy, speculation, player values, and all things Super Flex. With innovative strategies like QBX and the Super Flex Flywheel, exercises like Tinderflex, Super Six, Your Nuts, and Next Week This Week, the Super Show's Super Friends never lack the content you need to help you draft and manage your roster in the fastest-growing fantasy football format, Superflex, on the Superflex Super Show. Enjoy your DLF podcast and stay sexy and super flexy.
Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me saying got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges. I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winnings to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russell Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I also have a trading problem.
And I'm Linda, and I am terrified of trading, so I'm glad to sit down with both of you.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Session 166 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts, also a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, the DAP Network, if you will, and I just did. We are here on a... Well, it's always Monday, and it's the end of June, and it is nothing exciting. Well, it's almost 4th of July, and it's almost Scott Fishbowl draft day. That's exciting, right? But right now, we are excited because Linda's here. I mean, there's no other real reason to be excited. I mean, Rocky's here all the freaking time. Who really cares? I love you, Rocky. I'm just kidding.
I love you too, Russ.
Okay, but that's enough of you. All right, so let's talk to Linda. We have plenty of listener questions that want to delve into who Linda is as a person and as an analyst, but we're going to take a step back and we're going to just ask a few questions, starting with how long have you been playing fantasy football?
I started when the year after I had my kid. So I've been playing, she just turned 7. This will be my 8th season playing fantasy football.
Yeah. Wow. You got your kid like right in the middle of my 2. I have 6 and 8. There you go.
Yep. She's not very interested in fantasy football yet, but I'm working on it.
Oh, no, I try. My son has no interest in sports, and my daughter just, it's adorable. Like, she just likes football because she knows I do, but has absolutely zero understanding. Like, she thinks falls are a good thing. Daddy, did they get a fall, Daddy? Yes, they did, baby girl. Yes, they did.
Yay! I got 4. My youngest is 10. I finally got it right. He likes both football and wants to start playing fantasy football this season. So we'll see how that goes.
Man, the father of my child is a Chiefs fan. She comes home and calls the Broncos donkeys. I'm not having a very good time, but she does love Oklahoma State. So I can take that compromise. She's very, very pro Pokes.
All right. I mean, 1 out of 2 ain't bad. I mean, that's not quite the Meatloaf quote, but it fits. How long have you been playing Dynasty for?
This is my first full off season playing Dynasty. So last season I joined all the Dynasty leagues because I found fantasy football Twitter, and you guys are a bunch of bullies.
Yeah,
and you could be like, no more leagues, and they're like, but so-and-so's in it, and they really want you to be in it. You're like, okay, I'll do it. So I really, really just, I didn't tip my toe in the water. I just jumped full-fledged all the way in from the high dive, and I really enjoy it, but I'll always be redraft at heart.
Yeah, I know. It's I think you brought it up at some point on Twitter where it's just, you know, you love yourself some Dynasty, but like redraft is the thing. And then, of course, you have the ridiculous amount of jerks that, oh, redraft is this, redraft is that. It's all about Dynasty. It's so much harder. It takes so much more skill. You know, I mean, the answer is no. That's not true at all. It's a very different skill. That's like saying DFS is so easy because it's just 1 week of games. That's not really how it works, you know.
Right,
but yeah, I'm the opposite of that, where I found Dynasty and redraft just doesn't super interest me much anymore. I'm in two leagues that are keeper leagues because they're with all my friends, but trading is just so darn fun and you can't do that in redraft. And that's, but again, I will never league shame unless you play two tight ends. That's just wrong.
That's, I mean, I do a lot of shameful leagues where your friends like put it together and you go, oh, this would be a great idea. And then halfway through the season, you're like, why do we? It was a terrible, terrible plan that we had.
That's also a great thing why it's redraft, because they're just like, oh, well, league's over.
Yeah, that didn't work. Back to the drawing board.
And I also want to point out that I did not have to twist your arm very hard to get you to join my Harry Potter league.
No, I think I volunteered for that pretty quick. I don't know that there was any asking involved except for from my side.
Yeah, there was. I think Harry Potter was brought up twice in a group chat. And I'm just like, you know, I've had this idea for a Harry Potter league. And then three or four people are just like, in. Okay, I guess I'll make it. All right, cool.
Yeah. Hufflepuff. I don't need the rules. I'll do it. Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah. Which house is Linda in?
We're both Hufflepuff.
Okay.
She's on my team. That's right. We are housemates, if you will. What's the next question on here? Have you made many Dynasty trades in your 1 year of playing Dynasty?
I've gotten better since having to talk about it and really fully emerging it, like, or submerging. The thing that's nice about it is that it gives you something to talk about in the off season. Whereas redraft, mm-hmm. like my at-home buddies that I do my redraft leagues with, we talk from like August to end of season. And then we don't talk again until August, except for the guy that I co-commission with. But so it was nice to have something to talk about. But when I realized I was going to have to talk about it, I knew I had to get my confidence up a little bit to make some trades. But they're all after one or two drinks at night where I'm like, okay, sit down, get your guy. And there's some trades that people have been like, eh, and there's other trades that I will die on a hill to defend. So I'm getting better. I'm getting better.
All right. Well, first of all, drunk trades are great trades. Whether they actually turn out great or not, they're always fun, especially if you don't remember them. And then you wake up the next morning, you'll be like, oh, cool, I made a trade. And then, you know, however you react is really up to whatever the hell you did. But still, it's fun. Who cares? Now, the question is, do you remember any of the bleh or any of the ones you would die on a hill for?
My most recent die on a hill for is when we were doing rookie drafts, and I one night decided I was going to go out and trade for Drew Lock everywhere I could find him or get him for cheap, you know, third, fourth rookie draft pick. And I got him in a super flex league for like the 408. So I'm not mad about that at all. If it doesn't work out, I missed out on probably nobody. And I mean, it would be a very rare hit that late in a rookie draft. So I was extremely happy with that trade.
Yeah, that's ridiculous value for any quarterback that has a chance to start.
He has a chance to start, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty happy with that one. There were some that I'm not going to lie, I overpaid for Drew Lock maybe a place or two, but that one made it okay with me. In a 16-team league, I traded for Josh Allen when he went on the block. And I think I traded Lamar Jackson and a second-round pick this year, maybe, or a third-round pick this year for Josh Allen, which is probably too much. But I love me some Josh Allen. And I like to root for the guys that I like to watch, so I didn't feel too mad about it, but there were definitely some people that were like, mm-mm. So.
Well, first of all, at a second or third, when you're talking about first round startup picks, who cares, right? Like, you know, if you have to use a second or a third to get the guy you prefer, more power to you. You know, just throw a quick digital slap at whoever was giving you crap about that one.
I usually just ignore it. I go like, you know that meme where he's pointing in the mirror? He's like, don't let anybody tell you different. That's I have that, but for like, you won that trade. It doesn't matter what anybody else tells you.
Well, see, you got a dangerous word in there. It doesn't matter if you win, as long as you're happy with it. You know, that's really what it comes down to. Like, oh, even if you did like throw a first on top of Lamar Jackson to get Josh Allen, who cares if that's what you really wanted to do? If you don't think Lamar Jackson is good, but you do think Josh Allen is good and you like watching him play. I've heard how you people talk about Josh Allen. So that first round pick is absolutely worth it.
I love the way you said "you people." Like,
it look, it's I not mean, you're just right, you. You're not I wrong. Get it.
There's definitely upside to. I mean, we don't have to talk about it.
Hey, this is your forum. If whatever you want to use it for, you can absolutely use it for.
Oh my lord! I've not been called out for that before, so. At least you listen. You know, you see what I tweet. That makes me feel good.
I absolutely do. Okay, so let's get to our last question in our little interviewee thing. And it says, this might be a little tough since you're pretty new to it, but what's a guiding principle you have with you, whether you are offering a trade or evaluating a trade?
Oh, this is going to, I don't know. I don't know if this is like a principle, but I'm not going to convince somebody to take a trade from me because I don't want to be convinced. If you say our values don't match, our values don't match. And I think that's fine. It doesn't have to be a point of contention. You don't have to try to convince me why it helps my team. In fact, please don't, because when you do, I'm going to shut it down fast. And I don't want to try to convince you why that trade works for you. I think that's like my biggest thing that I don't like, or it turns me off pretty quickly.
Yeah, and I do that to Rocky all the time, which is the fun part. It's funny, everything that you could do to piss someone off, I've started doing to Rocky, and just for the hell of it.
Oh yeah, it's great.
It's great.
But yeah, I mean, it's funny too that you say that, because I used to, like, when I first started playing like regular redraft like the early 2000s, I used to be that guy I learned real fast not to explain why you should do trades, and I'm with you. I hate that as well now.
The only time I catch myself doing it is if someone does say that they're like, oh, that's way off for me. And then like, I don't want them to think I'm bad. So it's just like, no. Let me tell you why. I'm not trying to sell them on it. I'm trying to sell me, you know.
So, like, yeah, sell them on
I'm
you.
I'm not bad. Like, no, yeah, it's just.
I'm not bad.
I do know values.
I get it. I just, Okay, well, that was fun. And, oh, wait, hold on. We skipped the more important part. Why don't you tell everyone who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do? That's the important part.
Importance may be a stretch. Importance, like, pretty high. That's a pretty high bar to clear, so let's just drop it down a little. But you can find me on Twitter at Lindellians. And then I think that was maybe one of the questions and I was skipping ahead. Yes. But it is Lindellians. But you can say it however you want. I don't really care, as long as you're talking about me. But I do Fantasy Football Confidential on Wednesdays with Troy King, Mitch Sorensen, and John Bauer. And we have a really, really good time there. It's Wednesdays at 9 Eastern and Mondays at like 7:30-ish Eastern. Like we put the little wavy sign in front of it because sometimes we're late from work or whatever it is. But I do a show with a couple guys I met in the Scott Fish Bowl last year. We were all in the 102 group chat, started a best ball league. We were the only people that talked in that chat. So just kind of, we just kept subgrouping ourselves, and we hang out on Mondays. We do game nights. We talk strategy. We kind of do a little bit of everything, but mostly we were meeting up anyway. So we decided to just go live while we did it. And yeah, you can mostly find me on Twitter. That's where I'm most obnoxious. And from there, you can find me everywhere else.
Most obnoxious is the most fun. I do have to say, though, ever since you were on the open bar, I can't see your handle without thinking it's Linda Lyons, which I never read it that way. And then all of a sudden, like, you guys start talking about that. I'm like, yeah, when you look at it fast, and now it's all I see is Linda Lyons. And that is obviously not what it is.
It has been every handle I've ever owned since like freshman year of high school, when my buddy started calling me Lindellians. And then, like, I don't know, probably 5 years ago, my best buddy that I co-commissioned all my home leagues with said, you know, it looks like Lyndall Lyons, right? And I was like, what? Does it? And then everyone I talked to was like, for sure, that's what we thought it was. I was like, oh no, but it's too late. It's all my, it's everything. It's all my things. So I just committed.
Yeah, I definitely thought it was Lyndall Lyons until I heard you say what it was on a podcast somewhere. Yep.
Well, forget all those other people. I got you. I'm with you. I knew what it was, and then everyone led me astray and just poisoned my mind.
Yep. I feel you. And I look at it the same way, too, now. I'm like, oh, wow, it really does look like Lyons. It's fine. Yeah.
I mean, maybe just lean into it and just capitalize that L and just start going by Lyndall Lyons.
I know. I've thought about, like, do I change it? My mom's like, you should not change it. I'm like, should I? Nope. Everybody, people just stutter through it. And I go like, yeah, I'm not going to correct anybody. I don't have, nobody has time for that. So I just say it when I can. And if I don't get it in, it's fine.
If you ever want to start a burner account, I caught that. Well, if you ever want to start a burner account, now you know what you could do. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, capitalize that L, you know, maybe put a one in there. So, you know, it's not the exact same letters, but
that happened to me before. And there's also a at lit Dellions on Twitter.
Oh, that's right. There was like 20 minutes where like you and Troy and a couple of other people just kept getting, you know, like whatever they like imitation accounts or whatever they are. Yeah, that was weird. And I never got one and I felt pretty bad about myself, not gonna lie.
Well, don't, because the Lit Dellions profile picture is the most insane close-up of my face you've ever seen. And I'm like, I don't know who runs it, but can someone pick a different picture? Jesus, it's close.
Oh, that's awesome. I mean, that's not awesome, but it's funny.
Yeah.
But it's not funny, but it's funny. All right, so we are, like I said before, the end of June, the beginning of July, which means there's absolutely no real news going on. But I did see something that led to a lot of fun, where it is being said that within the next few weeks, Todd Gurley is going to be signing with Baltimore. And clearly, J.K. Dobbins is terrible because this is happening. I just need, I'm not going to tell you what to say. Would both of you, whichever, how do you feel about Todd Gurley joining the Baltimore backfield?
Who cares?
Oh, I'm not that ballsy about it. That's like, I'm sorry. I don't care who you add to, like, you add somebody to a backfield and it becomes a messier backfield. That makes me concerned. Like, extremely messy backfields like that. A guy that they, like, I would worry that they put on a goal line for a rush. It doesn't mean J.K. Dobbins is going to be bad. Doesn't mean he doesn't still get the passing down work and all the fun things that we like about J.K. Dobbins. But it also doesn't mean I'm not going to be the slightest bit concerned, just because I'm a worrier, though, maybe.
Yeah, I think I was also just a little concerned already with Dobbins for 2021, just because they already have a good backup. So I don't see Gurley. I think if anything, he might cut into Gus Edwards' work a little more than J.K. Dobbins. He's probably a little more similar of a back to Edwards than Dobbins, but especially at this stage of his career. So I just think it's more insurance. I have no idea who their third string running back is, which maybe is saying
Justice
something.
Hill.
That's right. I forgot about
him. I cannot drop Justice Hill, bro.
Which he was going to be the guy. He was going to be the next so David much. Johnson.
And they've never shown any inclination to give him even like two carries a game. So, so I mean, maybe that's why Gurley's there. He gets two carries a game, whatever. They're going to run 40 times anyway. So what's the difference?
Yeah.
Yeah, the first thing I thought was, oh, man, I scooped up so many Gus Bus shares, mostly just because they run the ball 40 times a week. So if Gus can get like 10, maybe he'll be a bye week fill in once people start getting injured. Or maybe if Dobbins gets hurt, I'll get lucky and get like a low end RB2, high end RB3. And now, like, I mean, Gurley's better than Gus Edwards, even Gurley being what he is. I feel like he's better than Gus Edwards.
Is he, though?
Yeah, maybe. I thought so. Now
he was getting beat out by Ito Smith at the end of last, publicly acknowledged to be getting beat out by Ito Smith.
Ugh, they had such an infatuation with Ito Smith when he never did a thing to earn a spot that I don't know. But Clearly, we don't need to talk enough about this. I just wanted to bring it up because it was literally the only speck of news I've seen over the past week. And it's just like, oh, all right, well.
I didn't even see it till I checked the show sheet right before we logged on. I was like, what the? What?
Oh, yeah, I saw it this morning.
So just like, really okay, that's something weird.
Yeah. How's this fry right now? I was just thinking maybe he'll be the Malcolm Brown of that backfield. Where he maybe has a good week one and then he's just a little bit of a thorn in the side the rest of the way until he probably gets hurt.
Me and Todd Gurley do not have a good past relationship, so I've never drafted him since the 1 year that he broke my heart. I'm always rooting for him, but I hold a grudge.
As you should, I guess. I don't know. Maybe. Okay, so it is such a freaking dead period for trades that even now when this afternoon I go into all of the Trade Addicts chats and say, look, guys, we have zero trades to talk about. Go get some stuff done. We only have two trades to talk about. And actually, it's going to lead me to want to talk about one or two other things, but first, let's get to the actual trades themselves. Trade Addicts Leagues, 12-team Superflex, PPR, tight end premium with 1.75 points per tight end reception with 0.05 points for return yardage, because I think TA1 just hates trading at this point. I don't know.
I can't remember the last time we had a TA1 trade.
Probably the last time we made a trade is the only thing I could think of. We did a Diggs. You gave me Diggs. Yeah, I think Diggs, that was the last trade. I don't even know how long ago that was. But we have to skip all the way down to Trade Addict 6 and the brother, the wonderful man, the humanitarian when I come asking for help, J. Mike, trades Cam Akers and Denzel Mims for Joe Mixon. So how do you feel about that, Linda Lyons?
You are not going to hear many positive things come out of my mouth about the Bengals offensive line and therefore my concern with Joe Mixon in this case. I'm already concerned about Joe Mixon. They took him out to put Gio on the goal line last year to score touchdowns. He's just always — people talk about where he finished last year. Well, he had one game with like 40 points. So it kind of skews his numbers, which is why I'm more of a film gal than a numbers gal, because I think you can alter numbers to really say whatever you want to say. He's always a little bit concerning to me already. And I am not convinced that offensive line got better. I know people say they've been Riley Reiff. Riley Reiff hasn't played a full season since 2015. I don't trust Riley Reiff further than I could throw Riley Reiff. So I just, and I know it's a dynasty, but Cam Akers is younger. I like Denzel Mims in New York. I think that team did a really good job this offseason to have a really good chance to do something this year and going forward. So for me, I'm Cam Akers and Denzel Mims.
Well, in all of that, you didn't actually say, do you believe in Cam Akers? Like, do you think he's going to be the guy?
I like Cam Akers. I like Cam Akers better than DeAndre Swift. I started the offseason Swift over Akers. I know, but I'm worried about the Lions a lot.
That was such a good face, Robby. You literally made his jaw drop. I've never seen that before.
Yeah, well, we all know my thoughts on Cam Akers. I was actually going to start off my comments, but I want to commend J. Mike at least for not buying into the Cam Akers hype. But yeah, that's not — see, Cam Akers is worth way more than Joe Mixon. So I'm not adding to Cam Akers to get Joe Mixon. I was surprised when I saw this one. I mean, Denzel Mims has almost no value at this point after all the camp reports. And I'm kind of agreeing with Linda on Joe Mixon. I mean, I have a bipolar relationship with Joe Mixon. One week, I think he's like he's never shown us he can be a consistent RB1. He's never going to be a consistent RB1. I side with the haters. And the next week, I'm like, but there's Burrow and there's Higgins and there's Chase and they're going to pass a lot and he's going to get all the work because it's only Samaje Perine. So I never know what to make of Joe Mixon. I actually might prefer to start Joe Mixon in 2021, but there's no way I'm trading Cam Akers plus for Joe Mixon.
See, here's the thing. I have always been a fan of, well, Joe Mixon, the football player. Like, he is very talented. The Bengals feel like being like the Grigson-led Colts, where they just don't care about getting their players behind the offensive line killed because they don't get offensive linemen. And I keep reading articles about how the Bengals upped their depth on offensive line, but they didn't get any good starters. So that doesn't really help very often. So I can't let go of my Joe Mixon love. That being said, sorry. I mean, like, J. Mike messaged me right away and he's like, look, I know I'm going to lose this Twitter poll, even though I don't run those anymore. He's like, but I wanted Joe Mixon. I went and I got Joe Mixon. And my exact reply was, well, first of all, go get your guy. Second of all, has anyone seen, physically seen in their league, the Cam Akers hype equal trade value? I haven't seen it anywhere. I have not seen a trade for Cam Akers where you pull in a ransom because of all the people that are going nuts over Cam Akers. I have him in a different league that J Mike is in, and I literally can't move him at all because I don't know if it's me, like, well, no, that's not a Godfather deal. That's not like trading for the running back three or whatever that people are screaming Cam Akers might be. And I haven't accepted. And no, the three was an exaggeration. I saw that look on Linda's face. She's like, ooh.
I didn't say that.
Well, no, because like there was some crazy hype, especially the way he finished the end of the season. And now it's just the trade value doesn't seem to be there. And while
it's still there on Twitter, though, that hype.
Maybe you got it.
I had one share. I didn't get a ransom for him, I wouldn't say, but I got Diggs, and I was very happy with that.
Yes, and you took him from me, and I got Herbert, so it's fine. Well, yeah. Not straight up. None of that was straight up, but...
That's right. I forgot that was Diggs. That was involved in that trade. There, I was actually in another league I'm talking about. I actually got straight up. I got Diggs straight up for Akers.
Oh, I love Diggs.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't do... I wouldn't do that. I mean, I would dig, so, like, all day long.
Thank you, Linda.
But I mean, back to the actual
good graces. Sorry. Yeah.
Well, you don't have to worry about Rocky's good graces, you know.
Yeah, Russ is the man in charge here.
Never forget it. But yeah, I think you two said it correctly, where it's pretty much the value is on the Akers side. But like Rocky is saying, I don't know how great I feel about Akers, so. I guess if I do believe in Mixon, I don't believe in Akers. If it takes me adding Denzel Mims, a player who could be good, but who the heck knows, because new offense, new quarterback with new wide receivers being brought in and still not much of a running game to speak of, I'll take that risk of sending Mims away to get the guy I think is better. So, yes, I agree with you and disagree with you. And I also just I want to make J. Mike happy is what all of this boils down to. So I'm siding with J. Mike for the hell of it.
One last note on Akers. I tweeted this out before just because I love it, that he scored less fantasy points last year than Zach Moss, who also missed the same amount of games as Cam Akers. So go make Zach Moss your RB8 or whatever it is.
Well, I mean, the RB1 on that team is Josh Allen. So
yeah.
Thank you.
All right, let's move on to our next, and last Trade Addicts, if we could even call them that. Trade Addicts 9 trade, Baker Mayfield, Kenneth Gainwell, and Ty Johnson for Daniel Jones, Chris Evans, and Kenny Golladay. So this is like Baker and a little bit for Daniel Jones and Kenny Golladay. How do you feel about that, Lindellians?
Man, that is tough, because I feel like I can't be like a Drew Lock truther and shit on Daniel Jones. That feels like I shouldn't be able to do that. I'm not very high on Kenny Golladay. I know a lot of people are, and I think that's great. I still think Chris Evans may end up holding value at some point. I think I'm on the stack side just because you have that chance. If Kenny Golladay works out in New York, then you have that chance at a good stack. So give me that side over Bacon, Gainwell, and who was the other person?
Ty Johnson.
Yeah, no. Jets.
Is he still in the Jets? Like, I knew he was for 20 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Ryan, I was DMing with the guy who made the trade who got the Baker side, and He wanted me to make sure we made it clear that he did get entire control pretty much of the Jets' backfield. He also has Carter. Yeah, he was joking. But I think he has Carter and Tev Coleman on his team as well. So. But yeah, I'm with the Jones and Galladay side pretty easily. I mean, I don't get – Baker is – I'm not sure exactly where he's at now, but he's like a high-end QB2 range, and I don't really know why. Other than that people think he's going to have the job for a few years and he's only 25-ish. I mean, he's never finished, I think, other than maybe his rookie year, these last 2 years, I don't think he's finished above like QB 19 or something like that. So I don't see him being as that much of an upgrade over Daniel Jones anyway. So I'll take the downgrade, pick up Kenny Galladay and add a couple pieces. I'm not a fan of Kenneth Gainwell. I didn't like Kenneth Gainwell coming out that much. And then he went to the Eagles. I think they'll use him a little bit in the passing game, but he's not going to be anyone I think you can ever depend on when you're going to start them behind Sanders. I don't think he's a great runner. And, you know, Ty Johnson, who cares? So it's easy. Downgrade, you know, that's my move. Downgrade a quarterback and pick up a guy. And I don't even love Kenny Galladay either, but he's going to be the wide receiver one there. So, yeah, give me Kenny Galladay and the slightly lesser quarterback.
All right, well, you guys completely just stole that away because I was going to be like, shocking. Yeah. Or would we be surprised if Daniel Jones scored within like 10% of Baker the next like 2 years? I don't think so. I mean, I'm also a little honestly higher on the Giants offense than it seems a lot of people are. But like you said, like, I don't think Baker and Daniel Jones should be that far apart. And I don't know if this is a statement on Kenny Galladay value, because like maybe that just wasn't worth a lot to him, because maybe whoever traded Galladay away, I think you said that was Ryan.
Ryan traded him, yeah.
Like, maybe he's super low on Galladay. I don't know. I'm sure he'll let me know because he yelled at us last time where we did not defend why he did a trade. What that clearly leaned against his favor, but I don't care. He's not here to... if he wants to defend his trades, he should come on the darn show. How about that?
Okay, we'll get him on here.
Yeah, seriously, why isn't he here now? That's what I'm talking about. But this leads perfectly into one of our listener questions. So we're just going to jump straight in from Luis Bueno in the Cool Kids Club. Shout out. A number of analysts are not high on Kenny Galladay and will point to Daniel Jones as the reason why. Fine. Fair point. Jones is an unproven QB who could be on unstable ground if he struggles. Yet those same analysts will pivot to Cortland Sutton. Am I missing something? How is Denver's QB situation any better or more stable than the Giants? Wow, what an amazingly elegantly worded question.
It really is.
Seriously. And I like actually read it correctly. Like, those two things came together, and that was a beautiful like minute and a half right there. It was definitely like 20 seconds. Whatever, leave me alone. Okay, so this pretty much just try and tie in everything you guys have been saying about how you felt about Galladay and all of that stuff. Actually, no, you guys didn't like them, so I'm going to talk first. Here's my thing. I like Kenny Galladay. I think he's very good. He has been on very crappy offense with a very good quarterback. Now he's going to go into an offense that has way more pieces with, I mean, I'm sorry that it's freaking Jason Garrett. It's not going to be a great offense, but he was a very good coordinator before he just sucked as a head coach for like a decade. So like, but like with a healthy Saquon, a decent offensive line with Kadarius Toney and Evan Engram and Sterling Shepard covering in the middle of the field, like, I do think Galladay is going to have a lot of open field to play with. And while Daniel Jones is not great, he's like a crappy Matt Stafford, right? Like, he's willing to chuck the ball. And all he did was throw the ball to one player last year. Like, Darius Slayton was freaking fantasy relevant. And who the hell is Darius Slayton? And it's just because he's the one dude that Daniel Jones could throw the ball to, so he kept throwing it to him. So there's a chance that could be Kenny Galladay, which Matt Stafford, you know, well, he, I almost said grew up, but came into the league with the first like 5-6 years only throwing to Calvin Johnson, because you have Calvin Johnson, you throw the ball to freaking Calvin Johnson every time. So I'm actually pretty high on Kenny Galladay in the Giants offense. And since I have Kenny Galladay on a team that earned Trevor Lawrence this year and my team is still crap, I've been trying to trade him away and literally no one wants him. I can't trade him for literally anything. Everyone's just like, no, I'm just not into Kenny Galladay. So I probably going to end up going and buying Kenny Golladay on every single competing team that I have. I feel better now. Either of you, I need like to catch my breath and take a sip of water. So if any of you have any strong feelings, if you want to take the last part of the question going towards Courtland Sutton and the Broncos offense, I will say I love me some freaking Courtland Sutton, but you guys talk for a little bit.
Well, I love that I brought up the Drew Lock, Danny Dimes thing, and then somebody already asked right the question. Yeah, that's fantastic. I did post like a week and a half ago. I posted on Twitter two wide receivers with similar ADPs, both coming off an injury, both with mediocre QBs. Who do you have, Courtland Sutton or Kenny Golladay? Most, and I don't do polls because I want opinions. I don't want you to click a button. Give me something. So, a lot of people replied Kenny Golladay. I would say it was probably like 55% to 50. If I had to put it in numbers, their ADPs are so similar that I'm going to take the guy that I have more faith in. And whether that's because I am a Denver Broncos fan or because I have really high hopes for Drew Lock this year, I feel like we've seen Daniel Jones' ceiling, and I know he's a great rusher. I don't think people talk about that enough for how quick he can be on his feet. But I think Drew Lock really has the potential to take that step this year, and that offense around him is so much better. Courtland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, Noah Fant, that's a three-headed monster. You brought in Javonte Williams. I just like that offense all around better. So for me, that points the needle more to Courtland Sutton because defenses are going to have more to worry about.
And I think, Russ, you may have talked me into Kenny Golladay a little bit there. nice. Well, I'm thinking about it, and I'm looking at this question, and he's got a good point. And I mean, they're sort of in similar situations that they also kind of have a lot of pieces around them. But Linda mentioned, I mean, Sutton has better pieces around him, which you can, you know, slice that two ways, that he's going to have a better offense, he's going to have more opportunity, or he's going to have more competition for targets. And I guess where I'm leaning is that Kenny Golladay, I think we've seen more out of him than he can be the alpha, the wide receiver one. We believe Sutton can. He showed flashes in that first year before he got hurt last year. And I think it's basically just that Kenny Golladay is already considered – it used to be everybody would say, can you believe how – no one realizes how old Kenny Golladay is. Now I think everybody realizes how old Kenny Golladay is, and he's going to be like 28 next year, which is the kiss of death for wide receivers. And Courtland Sutton's still 25, so he gets the benefit of the doubt. But like I said, I think you may have convinced me, Russ, that I've been a Sutton guy, and I am a Sutton guy, but I think it's close enough that I might lean Golladay. Yeah.
Yeah. The value wise, they're probably pretty even, but like you said, that age only because of that number on Golladay, I think it does give Sutton a little extra. I tried to be a little cute today in TA5. I offered Golladay for Sutton and Deami Brown just to see if I can get someone to add a little bit to get to Golladay. And it was rejected real fast. So maybe I'll just try doing that straight up because that team's bad. So getting the youth might be a little better for me, but we'll talk about that later. It was just a perfect question. Like it just like rounded everything we were talking about. And like we get to talk about Courtland Sutton. And I love that guy. I don't know, man. What do we have? Like, there's just, okay, let's just start at the top. How about that?
It's funny. Well, I don't know if you're going to start here now, but it's funny. We have so many. I was saying to Linda before the show, we didn't plan this. This just happened to be the times our schedules lined up when I asked her to come on. But this might be the perfect time for Linda to come on the show because there were so many kicker questions. There may have never been a time in dynasty fantasy, or redraft, I guess, fantasy football history where people were so interested in kickers.
Right.
And everyone knows Linda's the kicker person.
Yeah, seriously, like Scott Fish putting kickers in SFB has to have like vaulted you into like fantasy football stardom.
I keep saying, like, when you corner a market of like a thing that people want to banish, that's like already an uphill battle. But like for something like this to happen, I'm capitalizing on it.
Oh, absolutely. All right. So, yeah, we're just going to start at the top and go down because all of these questions sort of lead into each other. No. Are you kidding, man? Like the second, like,
oh no, I'm in a you know, pick 11 chef for Scott Fishbowl, and I mentioned you were coming on Trade Addicts, and I was told you need to ask Linda about kickers, so the Twitter did it for me.
I already said, well, I mean, I was joking with the Eliminators where I said no one's going to be ready for, or I think even said in SFB, no one's going to be ready for me to take Bucker and Justin Tucker at the 1-2 turn.
But the FC, the Eliminators, I did one league where we had punters in it.
Yeah,
yeah. Wild. It got very weird fast. It was a blast.
I know like 3 punters.
I know. I'm not even sure I could name 3 punters.
John Bosch is still mad at me. Like, people are like, oh, you did a league with punters? He was like, it was not my idea. it wasn't my idea either, for the record. It was Gabe's.
Oh, that checks. That the math checks out on that one. Yeah. All right. So at Andrew Hall FF, ask her how she pronounces her Twitter handle. We got that one done. Oh, no, that's the entire question. He wanted to know how to pronounce your, drop it for him one more time.
At Lindellians.
There you go, Andrew. That was just for you, buddy. The next, at Shane is the worst. How far? Okay, I asked, what should we ask Linda? What should we talk about? How far Linda has come in such a short time? Also, kickers, Broncos, and truly. So I think Shane just wants you to talk about yourself for a little bit.
Oh, like, we did that at the beginning.
Those are like,
I'm not very good at like talking about myself.
Those are like key points right there. Though I did feel insanely clever when I said the truly awesome Lindellians coming on. And I was just like, yes, I got this.
Yeah, I noticed. I got it. But I will talk about just in general, people a lot of times ask me, like, what is it about kickers? Why is it? Why was that your thing? And my dad kicked at Oklahoma State. So it was just like a family thing. It got passed down. We play football at Thanksgiving. All of my boy cousins and my brother have upper arm strength, so they're able to throw a football. I am not, so I always punted or kicked it. And so I played soccer. I liked the whole idea of it. It's exciting. Games can hinge on it. And they've broken my heart too. I mean, they've won me games and absolutely destroyed me. So I just really like the chaos that it brings.
Okay, so wait, hold on. So now this is, we're going unscripted for a second here. So I kind of thought it was super interesting the way that Scott decided to score kickers, where it's literally like based on decimal points of yards, where it's not like 3 points for a 30 yard and 4 points for 40. Do you like that better than the standard kicking points we've been playing with this entire time?
Absolutely. I love decimal scoring. Here's my issue. As I was going to make like the kicker sheet that I've put out where I've scored them based off last year, every kicker stat that I could find, and I mean, I put like my stats guys on it, like my buddies that do spreadsheets for funsies, to try to find somewhere that had exact field goal range, like exact field goal yardage every kick, and I could not find it. It is not out there. So I had to go game summary by game summary, kicker by kicker, week by week, in order to get those exact points. And so that part was a pain in the arse, but I do much prefer the decimal scoring to field goal range.
Okay. Patreon.com/Linda Lyons. She deserves that one after all of that work. If you use that sheet, you subscribe. Oh, that sounds terrible.
It was. Here's the worst part is I'm not very good at math. And so, you know, it's -1 if you miss an extra point. And I'm like, I don't know, 10 kickers into this. And I realize that I've done my math wrong. I'm just not counting one. That's not the same as subtracting a point. And luckily it was a full point. So all I had to do was go back and subtract however many extra points they missed. But I was like, well, I of course have to go back and check everything because I don't want to put out wrong information. But it was like, oh yeah, that's why I don't do numbers because I'm not very good at them.
Yes, because I heard /read or whatever the hell it was about that kicking scoring. And I do my 2 redraft/keeper leagues do still have kickers, still do have DSTs. And I'm really thinking about going, assuming it's a setting you can do because they're on Yahoo and CBS. Like if that is somehow a setting. Like, I'm going to pitch for that. Like, if we do have to have kickers, like, I feel like that's a little more honest in the scoring.
Yeah, I
like it a lot.
I think most platforms do have that set up. I'm in a home redraft that has kickers still, and we've switched to decimal scoring a few years ago. And it's, yeah, it's definitely much better. It's more fair.
I'm also co-commish of one of the leagues, and he doesn't know how to do anything. So I might just sneak in when he's not paying attention. And I guarantee you, the only time someone will notice is when a kicker finishes with a decimal score, and they'll be like, "How'd this happen?" Don't worry about it. Just ignore it. It's fine. Kickers don't matter. Just let me get my points. Okay, well, you know, that was
Linda,
my question.
Linda, you gonna take that? Kickers don't matter.
It's fine.
That was me just shutting up the people in my league so I can have my way.
Exactly. Oh, come on, Russ. I'm trying to start something here.
I know, and I'm pushing it aside so it doesn't actually get started. So knock it off, Rocky. next question at Mad Scientist FF. Damien, if you're still in here, what's up? What made you focus on the kicker position? We got that one already. When's the highest you found yourself drafting a kicker?
Oh, if we're talking strictly redraft, this is not Scott Fishbowl advice. This is redraft advice. I am a streaming, I'll go very last round. I love to look into streaming team defenses and kickers and tight ends and quarterbacks. That's like that's the meat and potatoes of redraft fantasy football for me. I absolutely love it. So, I definitely won't take, I'll take my defense and my kicker the last two rounds. And depending on who's off the board, depends on who I take, you know, try to take somebody that maybe has a couple weeks before their first bye week so you can get the goods. But I love to stream, so I have no problem going late.
Do you have any favorite kickers, though? Like guys that I guess maybe you have you hate Todd Gurley because he screwed you over. Do you have any guys that you have that special feeling for because they did good for you?
No, not really. I rode Tyler Bass at the end of last year. I mean, he finished as a top 10 kicker every week in the last couple weeks of the NFL of the fantasy football season. But the thing with kickers is people learn Justin Tucker, they learn Harrison Butker, and then they check out. That's it. That's all I got. I'll pick these two guys and I'm not going to think about it again. When you do that, you're leaving guys and therefore points on the board. Tyler Bass never in the last 6 weeks, and I think every week was a double digit point week, went over 30% rostered on Yahoo. So when you're not paying attention and when you hone in on a guy and you're like, that's the guy, I think that's where things take a turn for you. You have to be able to be open to maybe somebody you've never heard of before.
I have a soft spot for Jason Sanders of the Dolphins. He had multiple four or five field goal games last year. I had him on a title team. And there was, I think, at least one week where he literally like won me a game because he had like five field goals and like 18 points or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. He kicked a lot of field goals from beyond the 40-yard line, which is huge. I think.
Yes.
I think only Brandon McManus had more shots from beyond the 40 yards. So
there you go.
And I do have to say, though, what you said before about people honing in on those players, that is absolutely something I have used to try and convince commissioners to get rid of kickers. Because if you do look back every single year in your redraft leagues, at least, well, I guess it doesn't really matter, there are multiple kickers in the top 10 that will be free agents. Because the thing is, people get a kicker they think is good at the beginning of the year, and then the only time they will ever change their kicker is the bye week. Like, no one actually goes search again. Good for me, because I do that. I go
me too.
But still, like, it's just why not have an extra flex spot? And in this case, if we do this decimal scoring, like we move the Scott Fish in, maybe we can flex kickers, because we have a running joke in our league at this point. The only reason kickers are still in the league is because the commissioner and his wife are just physically in love with Justin Tucker, and it's like, let's just get rid of kickers, but Justin Tucker is still in the league. So it's been a running joke in the league, like, whoever will draft him the earliest. Like, we play Justin Tucker chicken, and I drafted him, I think, in the fourth round last year.
Awesome.
I still
think he's in fourth place. Too. Did you know he sings opera?
I did not.
No, that's fantastic.
Yep.
See, I like learning that football players are more than just football players. That's so damn cool.
You know, it's funny, too. I actually traded for Jason Sanders in that league, too.
Traded for a kicker? What are you? That is so weird.
I traded a defense.
That's even weirder.
It was offered to me. I was like, yeah, I'll do
sure,
that.
Sure, why not?
Whatever.
That's the best. And I do. I find myself doing that a lot. That's why I love receiving offers, because like if I'm sending an offer, it's like something I have to put together. It's something I have to think about. Someone sends me an offer, you just be like, sure. I know. And, you know, it doesn't always work out well, but it's still just fun. I don't care. Whatever. That's fine. The second part of he has a second question, I should say. Who do you want to be the starting QB for the Broncos?
Oof, I think we've pretty much covered that I'm a Drew Lock apologist, but here's the thing.
Wait, are you actually muting your mic because someone's making noise in the background?
Yeah.
Which you are like the nicest person ever. I would never do that.
I know. Most people don't.
We've had many pods where my kids making noise in the background.
Oh, so. All the time.
Well, that's all sorts of things happening. But I think Drew Lock is going to get the start. I don't believe for a second it actually is a 50-50 camp competition. I don't know how you are saying that the guy that you've gone out and drafted and tried to help build around and the dude you traded a 6th-round pick for are in a 50-50 camp battle. Drew Lock, you have to see what you have with him. He started 18 games, over half of which without his wide receiver one. See, I got all flustered because this is like, I'm like, no, all yeah, in. No, I need it.
Feel that passion. Do it. Yeah.
But I think a second year with the same offensive coordinator is going to help with his decision making, which is by far his biggest issue. Knowing that offense without having to think about it, he plays so well in fast pace. Trying to catch up offense. And if they actually implement that and he's able to know the full playbook and understand what's going on, then that's, I think it will help him in the long run. So I'm hopeful that it's Drew Lock and I'm hopeful that he takes the next step.
And I don't know if Damian was asking from a Broncos fan perspective or a fan, but I don't know how from a fantasy perspective you can't want Lock. I mean,
yes,
Bridgewater is Mr. Safety. Yeah. And especially if you're in a league that doesn't penalize heavily for interceptions. Like she said, I had Lock on multiple teams and he had his issues, obviously, but he had many a week where he might have like 6 points or 3 points at halftime and he'd finish with like 32. Because he would be racking up points in the second half.
Deep ball rate of the next guy or something. Yeah. Like something ridiculous like that. I mean, who cares if he completes all of them? I mean, as long as he gets a couple of them. I'll add to this question. Are you hopeful or would you be happy with the idea of Aaron Rodgers coming to Denver?
I mean, duh. Like, there was... Okay, so, you know, I did a ton of guest shows right as the draft started and as the draft went, and 15 minutes before I get on the first one I'm going to go on, all of, like, the guys that I know that actually know shit are like, Denver's getting Aaron Rodgers. It's happening. It's going to happen. It's as good as done. I'm getting all, like, I was like, oh, shit, we're going to win the Super Bowl. Like, I was all in. And as soon as we picked Patrick Surtain, that dream died. That dream died with that NFL pick. And I don't care. People are like, well, it still might happen. It's not going to happen. I don't believe for a second it's going to happen. I don't think they're trading for Deshaun Watson. I don't want them to while we're here. I don't want that mess at all.
Yep.
We just kind of closed down the Von Miller mess. So if we could just keep the messes at a bare minimum, I would prefer that. I think going out and grabbing Teddy Bridgewater as a I mean, Drew Lock's going to have a short leash. If it doesn't go well, I don't think they'll have any problem pulling him and putting Teddy B in. But I think that quarterback room is the quarterback room that's going to head into the 2021 season.
I'm still ready for Will Greer season. I don't know. No, that's the Panthers.
No,
wrong team. Man, who did they have? They had someone. Oh, Swag. They had a. Swag Kelly.
Yeah.
Yeah, bring him back. Bring him back.
Yeah, but he broke into some guy's house. It was fine when Tom Brady did it, but Chad Kelly's not allowed to.
Look, I mean, just because you're on drugs and you thought it was your house, I mean, come on, give the guy a break. He didn't fail any tests. That's all, you know.
I know. There was hope there, but it was fleeting, so It's fine.
Yeah, they've brought in so many guys that just probably would be fun. Like imagine like if Osweiler actually took off, like how great that would be. The fact that like we just
My Trevor Siemian bias was so strong. My Trevor Siemian bias, I have a jersey in my closet. That little real estate agent boy, I wanted it to work so bad. I was all in. I'm like, underdog story. And then he'd have like a good game, and I'd be like, yes, it's happening. Power up. And then I was like, ugh. But he's been our best quarterback since Peyton Manning. Let that sink in with you. Paxton Lynch, Case Keenum, Brock Osweiler, Trevor Siemian. And Trevor Siemian's been the best damn quarterback we've had so far. Yikes.
Trying to think of something in there to be like, well, yeah, no. Well, no. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah, there's not much you can say to that.
We won a Super Bowl before this mess, so I'm still okay. Like, if this had been going for 15 years or something, I would be... But we won a Super Bowl recently enough that I'm okay. But I'd like to stop doing the quarterback carousel, so that's why I'm really rooting for Drew Lock.
And I'm a Seahawks fan, and we won the Super Bowl because of you guys a little before that, so thank you.
I was pregnant that Super Bowl. It did not go out. That was not a fun day for me.
And, you know, like I said, my son's just a little bit older. He was less than one, and we're at my aunt's house, and anytime the Seahawks, like, scored or there was an interception, I literally, like, just picked up my child and held him in the air and started running around. And of course, it was way past what a, you know, less than one-year-old's bedtime should be, but he was freaking loving it. It was the cutest freaking thing ever. Oh, that made me happy. Now I have good thoughts in my head now. Thank you for that. And I'm sorry it came at the expense of your team losing the Super Bowl, but I'm not super sad about it.
I do it for the babies, so it's fine.
There you go. Some guy named @RealFantasyTL wants to know, when should we start drafting kickers in Scott Fishbowl 11?
Man, when the ADP calls, like when value calls for it. Here's the thing. Today, I was watching a mock draft just to kind of get an idea. I haven't done any last year. I did two. Neither of them got finished. So this year, I'm just like, I'll research because I can't do that again. It's frustrating. I don't do slow drafts well already. So slow mock draft is like.
Oh, you were not hashtag team slow draft?
No, I'm not. But I understand why, but I just prefer a fast draft. Anyway, I saw today like Pat Freiermuth went before a kicker. No, I'm not for that. So really just, I think it's just going to depend. I think it was like the probably 13th, 14th round. I'm going to take my guy early and ensure that I get my guy. And because of who I am and the kicker thing attached to me, I think it might mean I have to do it a little earlier than I would hope. But ultimately, I'm going to do it weighing against value. And it's why I keep putting out ADPs and average points from last season so that you can see that taking a kicker over a wide receiver four or a guy you're waiting for somebody to get injured to take is a better option than taking that guy.
Well, is there anything you can say to expand on that? Because our next question is from Troy @TKingMode saying, I would like to hear the advantages of drafting a kicker in SFB 11 versus some flyer at wide receiver or running back. Do you have anything where you can... Sorry, go.
No, you're fine. I think we talked about, you know, floor versus ceiling plays. I think there's definitely an advantage to taking some flyers at wide receiver and tight end, preferably, especially for Scott Fishbowl and how the scoring is. I won't find myself taking too many flyers on running backs, but I don't anticipate taking guys that need an injury to show out. Tyron Johnson is very, very cheap. He plays for the Chargers. He's a great late round target for me. A guy that ran plenty of routes last year, had a couple big games, and may do even better this year in that offense with the upgrades to the offensive line and with Eckler back and just the way that that offense improved this offseason. That's a guy I'm hoping to get. Gabriel Davis is a little later. I'm not as sold on Gabriel Davis. I think they let go of John Brown, and then they brought Emmanuel Sanders in, and Emmanuel Sanders will take that spot, and he'll need an injury in order to perform well. So that's really what I'm looking for is I'll take a kicker over a guy that needs an injury to perform, i.e. Tony Pollard. I'm not going to take Valdez Scantling probably, those are players that I think will need to see some kind of injury in order to do well. And I'd rather take the floor play. So I don't know if that makes sense.
No, that makes absolute perfect sense, because I mean, I know best ball doesn't equal, you know, setting lineups, but in the eliminators, I was in every single draft I was in, I was the first person to take a kicker or a defense, just because we got to these middle rounds where everyone is, like you said, taking these players that need an injury or need something weird to happen in order for them to be worthwhile. And I get that it's best ball, so all you really need is that one and who the hell knows. But I found myself going for the floor of kickers and defenses in those leagues, just because, especially, well, defenses, and that's not really the question. In best ball, defenses can't get hurt. A player can get hurt, it doesn't matter. But kickers have such an even, safe floor that chances are they're not going to lose you anything. And that's, at least in the eliminators, that's what you really want. So I just pulled up the SFB scoring and the scoring from last year. And let's see, I pulled up, let's go back to kickers first. Hold on. I clicked the wrong button. On average, the 10th kicker was Rodrigo Blankenship, and he scored 8.5 points per game. And let's go to wide receivers, and let's see how far we have to go down to get to 8.5. Wide receiver 60. Nope, that's not in the right order. That's why I have no idea what I'm looking at. There we go. What? Yeah, about wide receiver 65. So having said that out loud, would you at this point, again, completely points per game and has absolutely nothing to do with anything, like Kiki QT had 10.75 points per game, do you still feel like you would end up taking a kicker over someone like that?
I don't think Blankenship's probably my biggest target. The two kickers finished average points per game with double-digit points, and it was Sanders and Koo. I think there's potential for kickers, at least two or three, to finish with double-digit points per game going into Scott Fishbowl. Probably I'm going to take some. Is Kuti still with the Texans?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. That offense is terrifying. Who knows what's going to happen? Brandon Cooks is really the only target on that offense that I don't mind taking, because we just don't know. So I would probably take a kicker over that.
Okay, yeah. I'm kind of just stringing the question out to see if there's any I don't really know, because I firmly believe that there's a chance that I'm taking a kicker before a lot of people, and I, you know, I'm not you. I'm fine without kickers being in fantasy football. But like, I still, like, they're there, so I'm gonna take advantage when they're there. And yeah, I absolutely am going to be taking, I know I joked about saying Justin Tucker and Harrison Bucker, but man, Young Hoku is gonna be on my team pretty sure, because that offense is still what that offense is, and they are gonna need to kick the ball a lot because they still have nothing to get into the end zone with besides my boy Calvin Ridley.
Yeah, and I'm gonna echo just what you two said. I mean, there's a lot, the argument I hear is that you might pass on guys upside late and things like that, but there's a point where the upside late becomes so ridiculous that, yeah, getting, I mean, the kicker's not going to ever be a 20 point a game scorer, but it's still, you know, it's still more than you're going to get out of like the guys that are going in like Boston Scott's range, or, you know,
I'm just saying JJ Arcega Whiteside never really turned up for much for me in Scott Fishbowl. Just saying,
yeah, sorry, like in the mid double digit rounds, I'm definitely going to be drafting kickers. And again, just because there's so many guys, like Linda said, that there's going to be, you know, you need, I like Tony Pollard if Zeke gets hurt, but you need Zeke to get hurt. There's a bunch of guys like that, and I probably will have a couple guys like that, but I don't want to keep drafting them throughout the rest of the draft. There's so many that aren't going to get hurt or are only going to miss one game, and it's not worth it.
The end. Okay. Well, I mean, we already sort of talked about this a little bit. You said like who your top two guys are in, well, at least who scored double digits last year. But Jorge Martin 17 wants to know your top five kickers going into SFB.
So I don't want to say this in case anybody is watching from my division. This is terrifying. I'm going to have to take him in the first round. Tyler Bass is my kicker one this year. That offense didn't change a whole lot. It's going to run fairly similar. It was very well ran last year, and I think he'll have just enough just roughly the same amount of opportunities. I like to look at how many field goal attempts a team is going to have. And that offense is a go-getting team. They have a very good, like a pretty above average defense. So they're always quick pace games, high scoring games. And I really like the upside that Bass gives. And for exact opposite reasons, I'm in on Daniel Carlson. I think that team is just mediocre enough to give him some opportunities to get some field goal attempts in. Maybe not as quickly, but I really like Daniel Carlson this year. Behind him, Koo, Myers. Jason Myers from the Seahawks is so accurate. And again, it's a pretty high-paced offense. So they are on offense a lot. And he's so accurate that the negative 3 points for Scott Fishbowl don't affect him. And it really inflated his total points and points per game last season. And I wouldn't be surprised if it did the same for him this year. I think Sanders is going to be another good kicker, but I do worry that Tua picks that offense up a little bit and he's not going to get the chance to kick a bunch of 40-plus yard field goals this year. And like you said, Koo, that they gave away Julio Jones. They brought in Kyle Pitts. So it's still but it's still Matt Ryan. It's still a terrible defense. And I think Koo will have another opportunity to kick quite a few in.
Yeah, I don't know why it made me sad for you to list the Seahawks kicker on there, mostly because I hate having – it's funny. Like, usually fantasy players like having the players from the team they root for on their fantasy teams. I hate it, and it all started with Steven Hauschka because he was the kicker for the Seahawks. And I remember, like, I was close to a game. I was down by, like, 4 points, 3-4 points, and final drive, they – could have kicked a field goal to win the game, but on second down, they went for it. They scored a touchdown, and I got angry. I'm just like, wait, did I just get angry that the Seahawks scored a touchdown? What? Never again. And so after that, like, I realized I never want to be upset with the way my team scored. Like, I want to be happy that they did. So I, for the most part, avoid having Seahawks, though I'm never going to be sad to have DK Metcalf on my team.
The Broncos offense is iffy at best, so I'll take McManus because he's the only one scoring any points for the team.
That's until now, where we're going to get a full season of Courtland Sutton, and we're going to see how much of a beast that man really is. Huge, big right. Courtland. I saw him at a Jets. I live in New Jersey, and I saw the Jets play the Broncos, and there was just one play in the end zone where he like mossed a dude like behind. He was behind him. He jumped and just like reached over him and grabbed the ball. And I'm just like, okay, yeah, I like that guy even more than I did before. Now, yeah, I'm ready. I'm on the train. Let's do it. Big Courtland Sutton fan. Okay, we have two questions from at Maddie Big Chest again from the Cool Kids Club. Would you rather have a 22 or 23 first? Now, I know, Linda, that this is a little new for you, but do you have any opinion? Or do you want us to go and then you can see how you feel afterwards?
I'll just say a friend of mine was writing a 2023 Devy piece the other day, and he said that 2023 was stronger than 2022. So I'm just going to say 2023 because that's what he told me.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say I'm always going to take the earlier one. I know 2023 is supposed to be a better class, but a lot of people have said how crappy this class is just because it falls off so heavily. But I still like most of those guys that are going in the first round. So I'll take the first that I'm going to get a year earlier over the 23 first almost every time.
Yeah, see, that's time has value both in the real world and in draft picks. So that's really all it comes down to. I completely understand that as of right now, we think that the 2023 class is going to be better than 22. And there's a very good chance that is actually going to be the case, even though Kane tried so hard to just skirt the question or the skirt to saying that the 22 class was bad. But the thing is, yeah, there's going to be dudes that show up that fill out that first round. I mean, let's face it. There's going to be two or three quarterbacks. Then there's going to be the Joe Burrow, the Zach Wilson this year, where some dude just vaults his way into the first round. There's going to be a running back, the CEH, that comes out of nowhere, or the Cam Akers, where, I mean, he was good, but still he pushed himself up from what was probably going to be a second rounder. And like, that's going to have value is all it comes down to. Like, once the 22 draft rolls along, you'll be able to move it for a 23 if that's really what you want to do, while holding the value of that 22nd. Now, in case you move something now, like, am I going to swap a 22 for a 23 right now? No, that's silly. I mean, unless you're like masterminding like a J Mike Invitational, and you just like want to get the entire first round of what you think is going to be a good first class. And if you're doing that, DM me and let me know so I could watch, because that sounds awesome.
That was fantastic from J Mike, by the way. Oh, what a thrilling day and a half.
And he did it absolutely knowing it would destroy my Trade Addicts ADP, which I had to leave it out. There's 9 leagues, but only 8 leagues went into my ADP. But it was absolutely worth it with those videos. It was just fantastic. That made me so freaking happy. Trevor Lawrence at the 112. God damn it, yeah. But again, going back to the real question at hand. The real question at hand, why isn't J Mike here? God. 23 is going to be a better draft class. Sure, people are going to get hurt and drop. People are going to stay back in school. Like, things always happen. So while we think we know that, we don't know. So take what you have in front of you. Like Rocky said, you take the sooner one because you'll be more informed about it sooner. And you'll be able to know then whether you want to move it or whether, hey, crap, this ended up being like a top 3 pick and I'm going to get Spencer Rattler or Sam Howell or third quarterback. Sorry, I know you're.
It's gonna be a really long off season talking about Spencer Rattler. I'm not looking forward to it.
I mean, it's all right. No,
it's
I won't.
Fine. Bring...
Yeah,
thank okay. you.
I'm sorry. All right, so let's take our last question from Matt. Who's your favorite rookie wide receiver outside of the first and second rounds of the NFL draft? Oh man, I thought this was rookie draft, so I had ADP pulled up. I have no idea when people were drafted anymore. Like, that is so far
out of my brain. That's what I was thinking. I have trouble remembering who went in the third or fourth or second or whatever.
My answer, I think, still works. I'll go first because Linda just had a very oof look on her face. I've been completely convincing myself that Amon-Ra St. Brown is going to be a thing. And I've always been a little bit of a fan of his. I know I've told this story plenty of times that a reporter went to his household because his father, I think his uncle, and all of his brothers played football. And when asked which St. Brown child is the best wide receiver, they all said Amon-Ra. And he's on a team where who the hell knows who's going to catch the ball besides TJ Hawkinson, because TJ Hawkinson is going to get like 200 receptions because Rocky and I have traded for him everywhere in every league we can. So now we have to speak it into existence. Exactly. But like, I love Terrell Williams. You know, that's a guy I will ride until he retires. Just the gazelle, let's do it, baby. But like, Quintez Cephas, cool, sure, maybe. But like, and I know they have one or two other people that I can't even think of anymore. I don't know. But why not Amon-Ra St. Brown?
I did a quick Google. Because, yeah, the draft was far too long ago. But
exactly, right?
I've been throwing some Josh Palmer darts. I really like that whole offense. Somebody is going to emerge, I think, behind Keenan Allen that isn't going to be Mike Williams. I think Mike Williams will be fine. But I know. But I think after Keenan Allen, those targets are going to get pretty spread out. And so I don't mind taking some darts on some of those players. So Josh Palmer is probably one of my biggest dart throws during rookie drafts. But I know Maddie Big Chess asked that question because he wanted somebody to say Nico Collins, just so we're clear. Yes, I know.
100% he absolutely talked about him right after he asked the question. Yeah.
And the only guy that came to mind for me besides the ones you guys said was Amari Rodgers, who I think was in the third round. Assuming Aaron Rodgers stays, you know, I've been saying all season I'm a little, and I guess maybe it's because we're the whole Rodgers fiasco, but that we've forever been searching for the Green Bay wide receiver too. I don't know if we've all of a sudden give up on the idea now that they might have got drafted one, but I think it's funny that he hasn't gotten more hype. And like I said, I guess it's maybe just because people aren't sure the other Rodgers is going to be there, but if he is. I don't know if he's going to bust out year one, but he's a guy who interests me a lot. I remember hearing a lot of good things about him pre-draft, even as a kind of sleeper guy. So that would be mine.
I'm also a sucker for last name QBs throwing to the same last name guy catching the ball, like Russ Wilson to Luke Wilson. I don't care that it was spelled different. The Wilson to Wilson was just
nice and fun. Is A. Rodgers to A.
Rodgers. To A. Rodgers. Yeah. Step it up, baby. There you go. I'm trying to think if there's anyone else, like maybe. No, that's like, I'm trying to think of like late round guys I picked up. See, the thing, I have a hard time where people like Seth Williams and Chuba Hubbard, and I mean, a little bit of Kylan Hill, but these guys were so talked about in Devy circles the year before they came out, and all of a sudden people just sort of stopped. Like, I get that it's they had a bad year, clearly, but especially this past last year, like, I mean, like, we could one way or the other just completely write it off or like, say that's why they had such a good year, or it could absolutely be valid. I don't care, but I can, like, I have a lot of Seth Williams on my teams now just because he was so talked about for a year or two, and it's just like, is he bad now? Did he, like, Did the Monstars take his talent where he can't play anymore? Like, it didn't just go away. So, like, maybe there's a chance he does well. I don't know. Again, that's a real dart throw because it's like a fourth round rookie pick at this point.
I have boatloads of Chuba Hubbard and Tylan Wallace. Absolute boatloads.
Yep. Yeah, Chuba. I kept taking him just, again, because he was being talked about as like the running back 4 or 5 last year, which was a big deal with how many running backs were coming out. And now, I mean, yeah, he went to a crappy landing spot, but unless CMC misses the entire season again, we don't know. Just because he looks like the Hulk doesn't mean he's as invulnerable. Just saying.
I just need a skincare routine. That mother, he's got the flawless. Just like, I'm like, what's happening? I know he uses 3-in-1 men's wash. Like, I know he just uses the same, and it's just like, it doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah. He has that one that's like deodorant and shave gel and all of that stuff. That is pure genetics.
Motor
that
oil.
Is like, yeah. Like, someone smiled down from someplace when he was being made, and it's just like,
Yeah. Bastard.
Yeah, seriously. Well, I mean, that's the end of our show sheet. So unless anyone has anything else they want to talk about, that could be the end of our show. Anyone? No? Okay.
I got to come on and talk about kickers on a dynasty-centric podcast. I'm feeling pretty accomplished.
Oh, this is, I mean, it's absolutely my fault that it's taken this long to get you on here because I'm terrible at asking people to come on. And all of a sudden, Rocky throws it on our calendar. I'm like, oh, shit. Why the? Yeah. So thank you for coming on. I'm sorry it took this long because I'm terrified of asking people questions because they could say no to me and that would crush my soul.
Yeah, I have that. I have that. And thank you for inviting me on. I'm glad I got to.
Yes. And Hufflepuff and proud. but before we head out, why don't you again tell everyone who you are, what you do, and where they could find what you do?
You can find me on Twitter at Lindellians, Wednesday nights at 9 Eastern on FF Confidential. You can find them on Twitter at FF_Confidential. And then Monday nights at 7:30 Eastern at Fantasy Besties. And that show's just a live show. There's no recording of it. We just get on, mess around, and then get off for a little Monday night fun. So, but mostly you can find me on Twitter where I am every day, all day.
Same. the Twitters. All right. Well, our stuff. What is our stuff? Patreon.com/TradeAddictsPod. You can watch us record. You could see the wonderful Linda Lyons make those horrible faces, as I said, mean things about kickers. Or when we talked about Spencer Rattler and she almost threw up a little bit. You could also be in the chat as we record because, like, I mean, man, I think we've said Damien's name every show for the past, like, month and a half because he's always chilling with us. Also, the Cool Kids Club where we got a bunch of our questions. You can hang out. There's a whole lot of awesome people in there. Most importantly, ffpodshirts.storeenvy.com. We got to donate $48 to the Brain Aneurysm Foundation. Yes, we're done with it, and I got it right for the last time. But also, we have been blessed with the opportunity to put out Scott Fishbowl merchandise. Wow, hold on. Okay, I feel better now. Like, I just pulled a Peter Howard for a second, where it's just like, Yeah, and every single penny that comes in from the shirts and the stickers are going straight to Fantasy Cares. And the way Rocky and I handle our charities is every 2 months we switch off and we pick a charity. July and August, you know, it's just going to be Fantasy Cares, right, at this point, because let's face it, at the choice of buying Scott Fishbowl stuff or a Trade Addicts, I mean, hey, this time I could do it. You could own this shirt, which I'm holding up for those people that may probably own the shirt already, and the people listening have no idea what I'm talking about, but I'm actually wearing a Trade Addict shirt today. I'm absolutely wearing the shirt to the band that we came to see, which is us. So I'm the guy on stage. Is anybody yet?
Wearing his own shirt.
Can't hardly wait. Anybody see the movie Can't Hardly Wait, where Loveburger goes to play and Donald Faison wants to wear the cowboy hat, but the no, all right, cool, that's just me. He gets to wear the shirt, I get to wear the hat. Someone listening somewhere is laughing their ass off right now, I'll tell you that much. That's all that matters. But yes, go buy Scott Fishbowl stuff. Awesome. If you have your division, I don't remember if it was during the show or before the show, but, you know, Linda yelled that we don't have Nickelback stuff and showed me the perfect picture that we can go use to make one. So if you don't have your division represented, hit us up, DM me. And if you have any ideas, that would make my life a lot easier, because I don't know most of the people that these divisions are anymore. Like, my music knowledge cuts off in like the late 90s, and I'm lucky if I know anyone from after that. So, like, man, it's really embarrassing when I have to, because all of, we have to be worried about copyright stuff, so we can't name the shirts. Like, my favorite one so
the
far.
The shirt is, names are fantastic. The other day, yeah, I just like, got on and read them.
Yeah, like, they're the Grateful flawless. Dead we couldn't use, so I did the Thankful Deceased, which, and my favorite one is the Sex Pistols, which was the intercourse guns, which still makes me laugh when I think about it. And then if you look in the descriptions, the first line is always something really stupid, either giving a name or the name of the songs those people are for. But yeah, let me know if you want us to try and figure something. I know we still have a request list, because, man, some of them are hard. Come on, like, get easier logos, these people. Like, and everyone's album covers are just pictures of themselves, and we can't do anything with that. Like, we were talking about doing a Britney Spears one, and then John Bosch is like, just put the fish in a schoolgirl outfit. And I said, no, that is gross. I refuse to have that happen. And then he's like, yeah, no, that was a joke. Please, God, don't do that. Like, now I kind of want to do it. No, I'm not doing that.
I would 1,000% buy it.
And then and I would absolutely put Draft Me Baby One More Time on it. Like, okay, now maybe
I'll just make my own. Yeah, maybe I could just make one with some puff paint.
Yeah, I'm absolutely gonna, that, oh man, glitter puff paint, that would absolutely make that fantastic. Now maybe I'll just make one to send it to John and to Linda. Oh boy. On that note, I am your host, Russ, at Dynasty Outhouse. He is Rocky at Dynasty FF Addict, at Trade Addicts Pod, at DAP_network. We are also part of the DLF family of podcasts. I think I'm supposed to tell you to rate and review all of those things, because that does something people tell me. I don't know. It just makes me feel good. That's what I care about. But subscribe, because that makes us look good to everyone else also. Rocky's looking at me like I should be saying something. Should I be saying something, Rocky? Or are you just like waiting for me to shut up?
No, I think you're good. I guess I'm waiting for you to shut up.
That's good. I'm glad you felt comfortable enough, Russ, to say that. Good night, Russ.
Good night, Linda.